our study this morning in the book of Matthew. If you would, turn to Matthew chapter 5. And while you're turning there, allow me to read another verse that our brother Darrell read in this morning's meeting. Also in that 51st Psalm, we read in verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. We see ourselves, that bride that Mike was just talking about, unworthy of a groom so wonderful, so perfect in his ways. That's what a broken heart is. One who sees themselves as we truly are. Sin.
That's right.
And then when we see ourselves as sin, we look at the perfect righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ and wow! How wonderful our bridegroom is. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, and seeing the multitudes, he, our Lord Jesus, went up unto the mountain. And when he was set down, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Our first five points there that our Lord points out, they're all broken heart, are they not?
Yes.
Blessed are the poor, the broken heart, the broken in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. I mourn over my sin. Blessed are they that meek. I know how low I am. I know the worm that I am and before my God. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. Oh, how much we hunger and thirst after the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Especially because there is none of our own. Let's go to Ruth. The book of Ruth. We have seen a family leave the city of Bethlehem, the city of bread, go off to Moab. We have seen the family torn apart by death. Naomi's husband died. Her two sons married Moabitess women. Her sons died. The women were left with nothing left to provide for them. And so Naomi had heard the word of God had come once again to her, and that the Lord had visited his people back in Bethlehem. And she decided it was time to go home. And at first trying to convince her two daughter-in-laws not to go with her. And as we have seen, Orpah did return back to Moab. But Ruth continued on. So we're at a point now where we've seen the two women return to Bethlehem in a state of poorness, a broken heart. In chapter 1, verse 20, it says, and she, speaking of Naomi, said unto them, call me not Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt bitterly with me. Two women who are poor in spirit, from their losses, Naomi is no longer called by her given name, but is called by Mara, bitter, for the Lord has dealt bitterly with her. This morning I'd like to read the first three verses of chapter 2. Beginning in verse 1, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of family, and of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears from corn of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said, Naomi said unto her, go, my daughter. And she, Ruth, went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was the kindred of Elimelech. Now this morning, I'd like to take our text from verses 2 and part of verse 3. And Lord willing, next week we'll take a look at verse 1 and verse 3 again. But this morning, we're going to look at, and Ruth, the Moabitess, said unto Naomi, her mother-in-law, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. Now I want you to hold your place here for just a moment and turn back just a few pages to Deuteronomy 24. Deuteronomy 24. And I want you to understand what it is for these two women who are poor. They come back to a town. They have nothing of their own. They've left everything that they had in Moab. Their husbands are no longer with them, so they have no way to provide for themselves. They're widows. They're poor. They have nothing. They must rely on the mercy and grace of others. Our Lord has provided mercy and grace for his people. Verse 19 of chapter 24. When thou cuttest down thine harvest in thy field and hast forgot a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hands. When thou beatest thine olive tree, thou shalt not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. When thou gatherest the grapes of thine vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterwards. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. Amen. Do you remember what it was like for us before we knew who the Lord was? We didn't even know how poor we really were, did we? We thought everything was just fine. And then the Lord came along and cut our legs out from underneath us and showed us for what we were. Pure sin. But he didn't leave us there. No, sir. He gave us a great hope. He provided for us just as he did here in his law. Those of you who are rich, leave your droppings for my poor. Leave what you didn't get the first time for my widows. This is the situation these two women are in. They have nothing. Ruth has been left to fend for herself and her mother-in-law. A verse comes to mind as I read this situation that these two women are in Matthew. You don't need to turn there. Matthew chapter 10, verse 29, it says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father? But the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are more valued than many sparrows. This woman, this Moabitess, this one who doesn't even know the Lord yet, she is more worth more than any living creature on earth to her God. So much more that he gave his only life for her. The Lord our God has loved his elect from before the foundation of heavens. He has loved us with an everlasting love. That means everlasting this way and everlasting that way, as far as it can go. A love so great that he gave himself a sacrifice as our substitute. I love this verse. I cherish this verse in Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Yes. You're right, Mike. Absolutely right. We complain. I do. You were pointing your finger right at me. I know you were. I know his hand wasn't really up, but I felt it. I'm so ashamed that I do complain about things. My God has given me everything. His name is Jehovah Jireh. God provides. Our God provides all that we need. Can you grasp what God has done for you? Can you truly grasp what our Lord has done for you, for us, for me? Think about it for just a moment, will you? The entire world, everything that is happening around us is coming about for our good and His glory. Everything. I am so guilty of complaining about those people in the White House and what in the media and all that stuff. You know, I was talking with Bill earlier today. I'm just to a point now I don't even care anymore about those things. I don't want to care about those things anymore. My God's given me everything I need. Everything, huh? He would move an entire nation to bring one of his elect to himself. Isn't that what he did? He brought his own people, the people of Israel, his chosen elect people. He brought them to famine. Do you realize what that means? In those days, famine, people died. You didn't have stuff to eat. You died. You didn't have all kinds of welfare programs and all the stuff that we have today. Our poor live like kings and queens compared to some of the people around the world. Kathy and I have been watching this show that's called The American Race, and they went through the cities of India. Oh my goodness, folks. Oh my goodness. We don't have poor. Those poor people live in poverty, in shacks. That my dog has a better house than they have. Our God provides everything for us. His grace is sufficient. Don Fortner wrote this: before God saves, he slays. Before he exalts, he abases. Before he heals, he wounds. He never lifts sinners up until he brings them down. That's right. Ruth had resolved that she would be found among the children of God. She would not go back to Moab. But if she lived in Bethlehem, she would have to do so as a poor beggar, living upon the grace of another. This she was willing to do. You see, because grace chose her. Grace created the need. And grace met her every need. This is always God's method of grace, is it not? End of quote. Ruth was going to look for grace. What does it say? Let me now go. Verse 2, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. She didn't even know who it would be. She just, okay, I got to go and pick up what's left on the ground. Whatever little bit may be there. whatever they left behind, whatever little I can bring home to my mother-in-law. She was looking for grace. There is only one place that you can find grace, and that's at the feet of He who is gracious. A fountain flowing full of grace. Jesus Christ, the Son of the ever-living God. God in the flesh. She had no idea who might be gracious to her. She had no idea whose field that she might glean in. But notice in verse 3. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz. Now that word hap, that caught my attention.
Yeah.
I thought about that for just a moment. That word means chance. But it doesn't just mean chance, it means something that would befall you. The world believes in chance a lot. They believe that if by chance you change your ways and choose to follow God, things will get better for you. God's let some of those people go that way, hasn't He? Just so that they would think that they're following the right God. Isn't it say, what's it say, to let them to believe a lie? Isn't that God's word? That's right. God's people know better, though. Because not only does He take us and show us the worms that we are, the sinners that we are, the broken, destitute people that we are, He shows us the graciousness of His Son, the Lord Jesus. He shows us that our God is truly God, ruling over everything.
Yes, sir.
There is no such thing as chance. In truth, everything. We just read just a moment ago, I read for you, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs, and I know some of us have a little less than others, but the very hairs on your head are all numbered. That points to a sovereignty deeper than mankind knows. That points to a sovereignty complete. There's no question. Our God is a true God. If He wasn't, then we couldn't call Him God. Our God rules over every little detail. He is God. He is Lord. He is my King. Not a sparrow falls to the ground that He is not aware of. And oh, how precious are His chosen people to Him. He gave Himself for you. He became sin, so you would become righteous in Him. This Moabitess woman is a child of the Most High God. God moved the world to bring her to Him. She seeks grace, and she shall find it in Him. It may look like something just happens, but God rules His creation, and He is gracious to His own. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So where can you and I find this grace that I speak of? Turn over to John chapter 1. Where can we find this grace? Where can we glean a food that will feed our souls? Are you with me in John? Chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. There you go. That's the field of grace. It's the only place you're going to find true grace. You see, grace is unmerited favor. All these other religions that you see in the world, including those who call themselves Christians, they preach not just grace, but you have to do something to get it. You either have to attend church on Sundays, you either have to get baptized or go to church on Saturdays, or you have to do this, or you have to do that, or you have to make a decision. All those other religions, you have to do something. That's not grace. Because if you do something, then that means you've earned it. Grace is unmerited favor. That means we don't deserve nothing. In fact, actually, we deserve exactly what the world is going to get. But yet God is gracious to people that He has loved before the world began. And you're only going to read about that in the Word of God. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Three different persons, yet one God. All the fullness thereof dwelleth in Him, our Lord Jesus Christ. The same was in the beginning, verse 2, with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Our Creator, the One who spoke, and the worlds were, Jesus Christ. Yes, He had not become flesh yet. We'll read about that in just a moment. But Jesus Christ has always been Jesus Christ. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Oh, if you stop to think about what it would be like if you were still in that darkness, knowing who the light is that we know now. Think about that for a moment. Look back and say, you know, I say to myself, oh, I was dark, all right. I didn't want to have anything to do with Him. Not until the day of His power. The day He drew me out of that darkness. I was wondering how many sure I was going to say it the right way. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. John was a preacher. He was just like Pastor Gene, he was just like me, just like Mike, just like any one of God's preachers. He was a man, a sinner, saved by grace. Yet God gave this man the duty to stand before His people and declare who He was. And although we have that duty, you must hear the voice of God, the voice of our Lord Jesus. We preach the gospel, but it is the Spirit of God who makes it effectual in the hearts of men. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of that light, that all men through Him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world. Our Lord Jesus was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Excuse me. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It's not your free will, but of God. Those who preach that you need to make a decision for Christ, they're preaching a lie, because it says right here, not of the will of man. That's God's word saying that, not me.
That's right.
But of God. And the word was made flesh, born of a virgin, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. There's your grace, folks. There's where we go to glean in the field of grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The only grace. The only truth. 15, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, and he was before me. And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Are you in need of grace this day? Well, then seek Christ. Stop looking to yourself. Stop looking to the world. Stop looking to preachers. Look to Christ. Our Lord says, come unto me, ye who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is the Lord Jesus Christ in these pages right here. You want to know about him? This is where you're going to find out about it. Oh, to rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains.